I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission Monday, October 28, 2013 to order and call on Mr. Rick Finley to lead us in an opening prayer. Rick?
Heavenly Father, we want to come before you this morning. We just thank you again for the great blessings you give us. We thank you for this area that we live in and for this country we live in. We know, dear Lord, that in your word you tell us you want to bless us, and we pray this morning that you just give us wisdom to make decisions that you put before us that would help us to honor you and that you might bless us more. We again thank you for watching over us. We just pray for those that might need your healing hand, that those that might need your comfort, dear Lord, that you just be with them also. And we do thank you so much, dear Lord, for your son that you sent it up on a cross, and pray that we would be able to share with others that great gift of salvation. Thank you again for watching over us. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commission remarks.
I want to remind everybody and the news media for sure that county auction is this weekend, and it's out of the Kazee Mills barn. And
wasn't that apparent?
And the start time is at 9 or 10.
9 o'clock.
Okay. And other than that, I don't have any other thing.
So 9 o'clock at our facility in Kazee Mills, we're going to conduct an auction this Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, would you like to come up and just give us a general idea of what's going to be at that auction, since you've had an opportunity to look at the list of...
Since I'm speaking from memory, anyone can get a list online. They put it on the website there, and I'd be glad to send that to the news media, too. I know they have two or three dump trucks out there. They have several vehicles. We always have a lot of guns in there that have been confiscated. I'm trying to remember what else. They just need to probably look online, because my memory's looked over a lot of lists lately, I tell you.
When you say online, what's that address?
You can go to taneycounty.org and look there, or you can go to my website, rickfinleymca.com.
Thank you, sir. Well, we are short on business items this morning. It doesn't mean that they're not important, because they are. And our first item of business is an update from Taney County Business Development Partnership. And we'll have Jonas Arges with us. Jonas, if you could join us.
Sure. You want me to stand
just
here?
If you'll just have a chair, that'll work great.
A little background work, some supplementary information here to follow along with real quick.
Before you start, okay. We're still in mourning over Mizzou's loss, aren't we?
Well, you know, like we said prior to the meeting, when you have your opponent down and out, there's that killer instinct where, you know, it's okay to step on their throat and not let them up, in football terms. But Mizzou's yet to at least Saturday, they didn't have that skill set. So we're still 7-1, leading the SEC East, so we'll march on. But... beyond football, I want to take the opportunity to thank the Commission for allowing me the time today to give you an update, even though it was about 8 months ago the last time we were here to discuss the conclusion or the establishment of the Enhanced Enterprise Zone. In a way, it seems like a long time ago, but again, it's only 8 months ago. So a little bit of update on the partnership itself. Obviously, we all know that the county and the 8 political subdivisions make up the public sector side of the partnership. We are currently at 17 business sector partners. which combined have invested or committed to invest a total of $86,000 annually from that side. Currently, we have five businesses at the $10,000 or above level, two businesses at the $5,000 level, and then 10 businesses at the $2,500 level. So that's very encouraging. You know, I've said before in meetings that one of my concerns early on was the buy-in and the support from the business sector side, and I feel very pleased that we've come to this point in less than 2 years. So, and we continue to add significant partners. Cox Medical Center Branson came on this year, so we look forward to some more announcements here by year's end, if not first of next year, some additional partners as well. On the Enhanced Enterprise Zone side, we did have our annual board meeting in September. As we know, by state statute, we're required to meet annually for that group. In that meeting, Dr. Hyder was reestablished or voted as the chairman for this next coming year. We are also required by state statute to submit an annual report to the Missouri Department of Economic Development, which we did, which provides activity in the zone. And the one project we did have was an expansion project. The Branson Airport was able to utilize the state tax credits portion of the program in their attempts to attract a regional call center for a regional airline, which they were successful in doing. And we reported 8 new jobs due to that venture. And again, they will be, as long as they retain those jobs, they will be able to gain those tax credits from the state. So that's a good thing. I also know that the Forsyth Enhanced Enterprise Zone continues to work with National Enzyme Company, and they have created new jobs. I'm not quite certain of the number of those, so I'm not going to go by memory, but I know that that zone is also performing, so that's good. You know, early on, one of the many things that we wanted to do was to really look at the foundational aspects of economic development and not be project chasing. So a lot of our initiatives are based off that principle of doing the fundamentals well, not unlike football. You learn how to block, tackle, run, catch the ball, so on. So last year we employed the University of Northern Iowa's Institute for Decision Making to help us with our 3-year strategic plan or action plan. We brought them back towards the end of last year into this year, and they performed a targeted industry analysis. And in the packet I handed you, first of all, you'll see the list of business sector partners there that are on board. The second piece is the executive summary from that targeted industry analysis. In a nutshell, what they did was look at criteria in our region, looking at a 19-county region in both southwest Missouri and northwest Arkansas, looking at the labor shed, looking at buyer-supplier linkages, existing industries that are here, growth patterns in those industries, and so on. And what they determined was that as Taney County sits today in relationship to our region, what industries, based on the national NAICS codes, NAICS. My brain will wake up here in a minute. Industrial Code Classification System. All right. Well, beyond that, they identified 12 NAICS codes, 5 in the financial business services industries, and 7 in manufacturing. And what they determined was that as we sit today as a county, again, in our relationship in the region, we have the skill sets from a labor standpoint. We have the assets to support these 12 industry codes. So you'll see on the back page that data processing, office administration, document preparation, telemarketing, call centers, obviously with the airport being successful in that, that reinforces that one. You know, one of the questions that was posed early on was, You know, we have the expansion of medical in our area. A lot of these back office services service medical, so there's the connection there. Then on the manufacturing side, the plastics, the sheet metal, industrial valve, fluid power, some of that stuff, obviously we have a good core base of poultry processing, not only in northwest Arkansas, but in southwest Missouri, especially over towards Cassville. So a lot of these are the buyer-supplier linkages they were talking about and how existing industry can tap into opportunities here locally. And again, based off projected growth rates, industry presence in the region, and so on. So this is the summary. If you'd like to have the full report, I can send that to you. I think we did that back in the summer when they were here. So, and again, if you have any questions through this, just jump in and let me know. Coming off the targeted industry analysis, we partnered with the Missouri Partnership and the Springfield Regional Economic Partnership to host a site selection competitive assessment. They hired a consulting firm out of Greer, South Carolina, called, their name is Insight Consulting. And what we did was do a tabletop exercise of three potential sites in the county, come in and then go through the whole process of a request for information, analysis of the projected sites, and then get feedback from them on how we performed as a community in response to that request for information, but also the quality of those sites. And what we learned was that from a consultant standpoint, doing site searches for corporations or business clients, it's all about product. And when I say product, it's infrastructure: water, sewer, electric, gas, and fiber, and excess capacity and all the above, and then also the availability of land and buildings. You know, some of the larger things, you know, we just don't have 100,000 square foot buildings with 12-inch reinforced concrete floors, you know, 34-foot ceilings, you know, wide open spans with cranes. But there's a lot of projects out there that we can compete for based off our location and the assets that we do have. You know, obviously with the five pieces of infrastructure, we're limited. You know, natural gas is new to our community, and it's very, you know, geographically centered around Hollister and Branson. So looking for ways to expand those infrastructures and the excess capacity will help improve our attractiveness in those site selection processes. You know, one thing is that 40% of site selection searches are driven by consultants. The other 60% are done in-house by business owners or corporate real estate teams or site-specific management teams in those companies. So moving forward on that, I'm going to skip real just quick. Coming out of that site selection competitive assessment, we then turned around and are now going through a land asset analysis with a planning engineer out of Springfield to help us identify the locations of all the infrastructure, the existing land and buildings that we have in the county, not necessarily those that are for sale, but also those that exist over a certain square footage, you know, access to transportation assets, you know, good locations, and so on. So that is a direct result of what we learned from that site selection competitive assessment. We brought back, I'm going to skip back up to number five, we brought back the University of Northern Iowa this summer to help us with our marketing strategy and development from a business attraction standpoint. Now that we have a better idea of who we are and who we can attract, what's the best way to leverage our limited funds in proactive marketing? You know, where do we need to go? What programs do we need to leverage? With what we have, one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to redo our website. It has all the right, a lot of the good right information. It's just not in a very easy to use or consultant friendly or corporate friendly way. They got to do too much looking. So we're going to work on that. They've helped us identify ways to leverage our relationships with the Missouri Partnership, the Missouri Department of Economic Development, the Springfield Regional Economic Partnership. So that will be delivered to our board this coming December at our monthly board meeting. So look forward to having that. We'll have a lot of maps that will illustrate, again, back where we have those five pieces of infrastructure and where they can be tapped into, and also areas where it makes most sense to expand those services in the county, to even to hopefully provide more access and more locations to take advantage of. So one of the other initiatives that we've been keeping tabs on and been participating in is the Certified Work Ready Communities. It's a statewide initiative. It's a program administered by ACT. I provided you with some background information on those, on that program in your packet as well, with some frequently asked questions. Jasper County, Joplin, was the first county in the nation to be certified. Jason Jones over there with the Workforce Investment Board, they've done a really good job. What this program does is, to me, it provides a sampling of our workforce. Now, our county workforce is part of a larger labor shed. So, but to be able to qualify and quantify the skill sets in the area, because that's one of the main questions, or the first questions that a prospect is going to have, you know, does your existing labor force have the skills to service my business? With the targeted industry analysis, to have that to state, yes, our workforce as it sits today, without need of any uptraining or further education, we can handle these 12 for sure. Now, the larger, you know, the larger labor shed can do more, but this Certified Work Ready Communities, this is, to me, is almost like a survey sampling that proves that those skill sets exist in our county. You'll see that based on county size, there are certain targets that we have to hit as far as folks taking the Work Keys assessment test. With some of our students are going to need to take it, I think a total of 160. We've worked with the four high schools in the county to see about being able to put the Work Keys assessment test in the schools. Right now, they're willing to allow us to do that at our cost, which we would consider a great solution to this would be that if the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education would recognize the Work Keys assessment and allow the schools to have those count. And I'm going to get this wrong, but I want to say MSIP, their points that they get for assessments. So that would help. We are going to continue to work with the Missouri Career Center, with OTC, to try and get these tests taken. We have our steering committee, the CWRC steering committee, meets on a quarterly basis. We are now considering submitting our application in the spring of next year. Once you submit the application, you have a two-year window to achieve all your goals from the number of tests and the number of businesses supporting. We're about 40% at the number of businesses supporting, and then we've got quite a ways to go on our test. I think we've got 60 of the 360 some tests required, and so you know, with the Career Center looking at budget challenges, they are going to have to help us a lot with the transitioning workforce to getting those tests taken. So we continue to work on that. Again, we will not.
Jonas, how can we help you with the Career Center?
You know, I don't. It's a budget issue from the state, and it, you know, that.
I mean, there's a lot there, and I see a lot of counties that are utilizing.
Yeah.
The Career Center, and I see us maybe a little.
And it's about staffing. These tests are proctored exams, so they have to have somebody in the room with them. I was just at the Missouri Economic Development Council's annual or fall conference up in Columbia, and one of the things that they're doing is looking at for unemployment, I think there's, and I may not be quoting this correctly, but I think every 4 weeks you have to show up in person to the Career Center to either check in or do whatever they need to do, mm-hmm. which then requires somebody on the other side of the counter. They're looking at eliminating that to where they can do it all electronically or via phone. So if they, that takes a little bit of the burden off their staffing issues, which would then open up more opportunity for somebody to be in that room for that proctored exam. Currently, I think there's only a few select days during the month that they'll offer that test. Now, what OTC can do is also provide the testing, but then again, we would need to have somebody there to help, help be there and be a proctor for that exam. And it's a three-hour exam, so it's not, come in 10 minutes, you're done. It's three separate tests and takes about 3 hours, 3 hours, 15 minutes. So, but again, that I know that the state is being challenged by the federal funds coming in for workforce and all that. So, but we, I think we're going to get there, but we just want to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a position to where we start that two-year clock and then we fall short on our goals. Then we have to start over. So I want to make sure that we have a plan in place and have the commitment from those other parties that we can hit those goals in 2 years, which once we get that confidence, we'll go ahead and do that. So, again, there's right now I think currently about a third of the counties have submitted their applications, so they're certified work-ready communities in progress, and then the remaining two-thirds are somewhere behind that. So we'll see. Last month was the first month I submitted to our board a project update sheet. Currently tracking 9 projects in the county, anywhere from 2 entrepreneurial new businesses to manufacturing moving in from another state, a corporate headquarters, and I told my board then, and I want to share that now with you gentlemen, is that 9 projects sounds great, and we're very, very pleased and very enthusiastic about the projects. But in the reality of economic development, about a third of these will be canceled. Another third will be postponed indefinitely due to whatever challenges they might come up with. And then we probably have a legitimate shot at a quarter of the remaining third. So, again, very, very pleased that we are able to assist these companies and these entrepreneurs in their ventures. Again, we want to manage expectations. I can sit here and say that, if all these projects were to hit, which they will not, but if they were all to hit, we're talking about 500 jobs. Again, all these projects will not hit. We'll be happy to get one. The 2 entrepreneurial projects, I think one is over here in Forsyth, light assembly, distribution. It's probably not going to be very many jobs, maybe 2 or 3, but it's a new patented product that is probably going to hit the market, so that's great for Forsyth. Another one is another patented piece for the construction industry, and if that hits, it probably won't be very many jobs because it will have to be manufactured more than likely in Arkansas, but distribution and sales will be here locally, and again, maybe 2 or 3 jobs. But every little piece adds to the pie. So so it was nice to be able to finally get to the point of tracking projects. We've had a lot of inquiries, a lot of things that we've tried to help with, is providing information or connecting them with the right people in the community or the region that could help them at the point they're at. Trying to help them access financing and so on. So it seemed like towards the end of the summer, activity really picked up. And I don't know if that's just a result of just the economics of the state or the region or the country but whatever. There was a definite uptick in activity towards the end of the summer, heading into August and September. So that's very encouraging. So, with that, taking a global look at what we're doing, what we're learning and what we're being exposed to is that it comes down to product, relationships, and awareness. What we lack in product, we make up for in quality of place. The problem is, in a competitive site selection process, quality of place doesn't come into play until we're in the final three. So we need to think long-term on product. And when I say product, I'm talking infrastructure, talking roads, transportation. You know, one disheartening fact that we learned a couple weeks ago that one particular prominent national consulting firm, their relocation and expansion projects, 80% of their projects needed rail access. We don't have it. We've got a Class 2 rail line, but we don't have any spurs or sidings. Now, that's a much larger picture that takes a lot of players to get that pulled off, but that would be one long-term goal for a lot of people tugging on the rope to get that done. Another opportunity, I think, for us, you know, we've talked about in the past, is the East-West Corridor. We've got a great intersection in Hollister. You know, the discussions before was, let's do the whole thing all at once. And I forget the number, $25 million or whatever it was. It doesn't matter. But I think we have opportunities to chew off bits and pieces at a time. And then as that expands, it not only benefits, you know, for instance, if you went from Hollister going east, you know, maybe that first piece is, you know, get closer to the school. You get better transit for the schools. But you also open up some property that could be utilized for
industrial
park. You know, even if you go down to 86, you know, Mr. Johnny Morris is very active, and he's got some big plans down there. And I don't, you know, if there's a way to capitalize on his investment in the community and also expand areas down there, the proximity to the rail, to the airport, and to Highway 65 makes that a great opportunity for multimodal transportation. So, you know, again, I know this is going to take years. This is going to take a lot of people pulling on the rope and getting in the boat and rowing in the same direction. But we need to be thinking 10, 25 years out if we're going to play in this game. From a relationship standpoint, you know, we're doing our best to leverage the opportunities to be with Missouri Partnership. For those that don't know Missouri Partnership, they're the sales force of the Missouri Department of Economic Development. Their sole purpose is to facilitate business attraction to the state of Missouri. And again, awareness, the last piece. One of the things we've learned regionally is that, especially from a workforce development standpoint, we have a lot, if not all, the assets that folks that are looking to relocate or move and looking for jobs, we have all those assets. We've just done a poor job of making those people aware that we have them. So once we do that from a marketing standpoint, you know, again, this is long term, and this is more regionally, not just necessarily Taney County. But, you know, there are people in the metropolitan areas that would kill for a 30-minute commute. And so you can commute from Springfield to the Lakes area 35, 40 minutes, or vice versa. So there's a lot of these things that we do perform well in and that we show well, but it gets to the point of us making companies and site consultants aware of what we have. One of the things we had on the agenda was a site selectors consultants familiarization tour, which was scheduled for the 17th and 18th. We had five consultants coming in from Dallas, Chicago, and Kansas City. Unfortunately, two of those consultants had to cancel due to project activity, and a third was wanting to cut Friday short, and Friday was the day in Taney County. So we'll be looking to reschedule that FAM tour for late winter, early spring. And that's, again, part of the awareness is bring those consultants in to make them aware of what we have. You know, Branson Commerce Park, you know, it's one of only 17 certified sites in the state, and that was some work that was done by the city of Branson, as in particular Garrett Anderson and the guys out at the park earlier this year. So that's big. That takes a lot of the due diligence and the prep work for businesses looking. So all those things combined, you know, I could sit here and talk about it all day, but I know I had limited time. So if you have any questions, concerns.
Well, give us enough notification about that new date that we can
on the
get
Fanfare,
that on our calendars.
You bet. We will. Again, that's a partnership with the Springfield Regional Economic Partnership. Jeff Seifert and I are working on that together. So,
there's been a lot of talk about whether or not our investment in and our work with that particular council, Springfield Region, was worth it. But they are invaluable, I think, from the knowledge that we draw from them, and they're willing to impart that knowledge.
Since you brought that up, I'd just like to put in a plug that our site selection competitive assessment that we did with Missouri Partnership, which was part of their 2013 marketing co-op plan. Basically, three communities, there were three slots. It was a competitive deal in the entire state, and Taney County was one of the three. Ryan Mooney and Jeff Seifert, they submitted the application for us to Missouri Partnership, and the communities that were selected had to demonstrate that, one, they had a certified site, which ours was in process, was in the approval process, and two, they were participating in the certified work-ready communities. So the foundational work that we were doing was enough to get us in the game. The endorsement from the Springfield Regional Economic Partnership, I will just say, got us the opportunity to participate in that in that process. So, you know, I was appointed to the Missouri Economic Development Council's Board of Directors this year by the endorsement of Ryan Mooney at the Springfield Region Economic Partnership. He was the president of that board last year. So I sit as the co-chair of the marketing committee, and our sole responsibility is to put on Lakeside with the Locators, which is a two-day pre-event to the annual MEDC conference up at the lake. What that event does is bring in 8 to 10 to 12 national site consultants to make them aware of Missouri, or reinforce what they already know about Missouri. So building those relationships with those consultants, I mean, and I don't want to minimize this, but it's almost like everything else. It's about doing business with people you know, like, and trust. And so to have those relationships with those consultants elevates our status to be able to call on them and let them know, hey, we've got a certified site. Or, hey, you know, I heard you guys were looking at placing XYZ company. They would fit perfectly, and here's why. I mean, it's just so things like that. All those are a direct result from our working with the Springfield Regional Economic Partnership.
I got several questions.
Go right ahead.
Yep.
One of the things that you hit on was transportation to the areas, and whether it be rail or MoDOT's here this morning for an update, but whether it be rail or a road system. Is the natural gas, is it in a location in Hollister where if the extension to the airport, or I know the rail's close to the airport, a rail stem to the commerce park that you talked about? See, we have a lot of pieces, but we've got to have the total connection.
Yeah. Yep.
And those pieces that are missing might be the piece that's causing the opportunity not to exist. And I know natural gas went first to C of O and then spread from there across the lake and this and that. But does it go to the commerce part?
Yep, it's on property.
Site, on property?
It's to the property line. Now, it'd be up to them to run it to where they need to go. But part of the certified site process was to have all those pieces of infrastructure there.
Right.
So it's there.
I know at one time there was a large discussion about rail stem up to the underground or the park out in that direction. Another thing that I thought about was it's hard to have people committed to schooling, which OTC will be a great asset to our local workforce. But if they don't have a job opportunity already existing out there for something for them to work for, then to go in and take that schooling, that they're going to have to change locations to fulfill their occupation. So those kind of things are any one little location where we could possibly fill in the box, where we could fill in the transportation, the natural gas, the rail, the whole shooting matches, if you want to call it that, to where we could produce more jobs and have it available. I like what you said about the association with the Springfield Regional Development deal, because there's been a lot of discussion about that, about whether it's worth it to partnership with them. And some of us, I myself can see where it is because of the recommendations. True. But you have to start somewhere. And we've got little pieces scattered everywhere. And we've got the area for people that want to live in this area. But this natural gas and all the sewer system that we have is progressing every day. I mean, it's scattering throughout the county, and so we have a lot of the parts, but none of them particularly together.
Yeah. Well, we actually leave tomorrow for a conference in Dallas. It's called Aerotropolis Americas, and the objective of the conference is to help communities understand and be able to leverage and take advantage of air service, of airports. So we have, you know, the M. Graham Clark Downtown Airport. We have the Branson Airport along that 65 corridor. And just, again, just off the top of my head, if you look at, you brought up sewer, if you look at Turkey Creek, you could run, and I know there's been preliminary engineering done, you could run a trunk line up Turkey Creek, and you can get to the airport, you can get to, you know, the old racetrack property. In my mind, that's a great industrial park, you know, if you have the road access to it. Now, again, you've got Big Cedar Lodge down there dumping a lot of money and a lot of projects, and I don't know if those would coexist very well, but it's still an opportunity. But that, you know, where you're right, and hopefully, well, what we will get back from this land asset analysis is illustration of where those infrastructure pieces are and where's the best places, the most opportune, most cost-effective places to fill in the gaps, and long-term, where to expand those, where we can gain and make more appealing locations that coincide with the opportunities that are, you know, identified in the target industry analysis. So, quality of place, we can compete with anybody. The problem is, in competitive site selection process, that won't come into play until the very end. So we have to make sure that we're higher up on the radar, and they're looking at that. That's all they're looking at. They're looking at infrastructure, land, buildings, right, ways to mitigate their risk in coming in and making their site selection process or their decision on a site. So,
well, thanks for your work on this. I know, Jonas, you stay at this because I've had conversations with you outside this particular forum, but I know that you're working hard to put this all together and try to achieve what we're looking for, and appreciate your work on it.
Thank you.
Do we anticipate that we're going to have the same level of participation from the private sector in 2014 that we have this year?
2014, yes. Actually, we'll probably go up. Now, everybody, just not unlike the contract with the county and the chamber, they're all three-year commitments, so 2014 is that third year. Now, we've sprinkled in, you know, a half dozen or so partners in the meantime that extend that out a year, year and a half. You know, we've got a partner coming on November 1 that's going to start a three-year, and they're going to be a significant partner. So that continues on. I'd be naive to think that we won't have some drop-off, you know, not knowing the entire thought process of the reasoning behind why these businesses chose to support us. You know, part of it, I think, is that, you know, going back to the football analogy, 2 years ago we were sitting in the stands watching the game. Now we're in the game.
Right.
I'm not saying we're playing Division One, but we're playing. And we continue to get better, and we're practicing, and we're getting involved, and you know, identifying opportunities as we go along. But that'll be, that's one of the challenges that my board is putting on me, is to make sure that that funding increases and doesn't decrease. It's actually in our plan is that there's a level of increase at the end of that three-year period, and it's up to me to get that done.
Well, I'm remembering back to the commission's uncertainty as to whether or not to be involved in economic mm-hmm. development, and I think that the commission made the 100% correct decision.
I agree.
In what we're doing, and the partnership is the direction to go. So, I mean, I'm elated. I'm very, very pleased with what we're doing, where we're headed, the progress we're made. I applaud you, the board, and the effort that's being made by all that belong to that partnership. And it's a strong commitment. It's another example of collaboration and a way that we're going to move forward. I'm really pleased.
Yeah. I've got a question for you. You may not be able to answer it, but when the natural gas people talked to us, they were going to try to extend first to the School of the Ozarks location, and then they were looking to go to all the schools for economic reasons, I'm sure, and to try to bring in the different schools in the area, Kirbyville, even to Forsyth, and this and that. Do you know that any, in your conversation, their direct plan to go ahead and proceed that way, or have they backed off? Because that, in their presentation to us, that was one of the key points, was to make it more valuable to our school systems, which would put it in the location to where you can.
Yeah, well, that extends it. Yeah, I mean, it's natural extension.
Right.
And no, to answer your question, I'm not able to answer that question. That's not been a topic of discussion in the brief discussion we have had with them. You know, the one piece on the expansion side of it is that, you know, again, I'll go back to that Turkey Creek opportunity, is that if a decision is made to go south, then you get the utilities easement all in one shot, and you make it easy for all the interested parties to take advantage of that in that expansion. So the same could be said for going to the schools. It's just a matter of going under 248 out to Buchanan for Branson. You know, going out, again, taking off chunks of that east-west corridor, headed out towards Kirbyville, that's a natural progression. So it all makes sense, but I, again, like I said, that's not been a topic of discussion for us.
Jonas, we appreciate your update. We appreciate the information that you brought us this morning, and I apologize to Russia, but
I
have a number
I've
of other items
we
need to get
to.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, John. Dan, next on the agenda, we've got accounts payable.
Motion for approval of accounts payable. Checks 3372-38 through 3373-04, warrants 5862, 5863, and a transfer from GCR to the assessor's office for $40,000.
Second. Motion's been made and second to approve checks number 337-238. Through 337-304, warrants number 5862, 5863, and a transfer from general county revenue to the assessor's fund in the amount of $40,000. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. If I can get you to sign that one. You've already done that? Next on our formal agenda, we have a monthly update from Missouri Department of Transportation. Beth, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I can see from driving our roads that you've been busy.
We've been very busy. We're finishing up our construction season. That'll probably be my main topic this morning. So, well, as I'm sure you gentlemen are more than aware, we've been working on 160 and 176. The turn lanes and reconfigurations are in. The rumbles are in. The contractor is finishing up a little bit of slope work where we've added some shoulders there, and they've had a little bit of earthwork and seed and mulch. Once they get that all done, then we will come back in with our striping crew and finish the striping. So hopefully they'll get that done fairly quickly because we know we need to get stripe on that entire road. So, but the rumbles are in and in place. Thought the project went pretty well. The only issues that I was aware of that were brought to our office was the product that we use between layers of asphalt is called tack. It's, you know, they spray it on between layers to make sure the new layer adheres to the old layer. We had some requirements this year that they use more of that because apparently our pavement engineers did some calculations, said, hey, with the recycled asphalt and the shingles and things that are being used in the new asphalt blends, we're not getting enough asphalt in that product. And so we upped that amount, and so you saw some tracking. Long story short, you saw some tracking on some of the pavement where we had some globs that the trucks had actually, and we had to have them come in and do a little bit of blading and remove some of that. But those were the only complaints we received. I was wondering if you guys had any feedback, good or bad.
A quick question for you.
Yes.
Is it your intent that they're going to put a warning sign for that stop sign that's over at F Highway coming from west to east?
Other than the CMS board that's already up, the change of message board?
I just traveled that, and I didn't even see it.
There should be one in place. I did not travel it this morning, but they adamantly told me they had that in place last week and that it would stay up for quite some time.
I'm trying to think when I returned from it. It was yesterday. And
I will check on the way back, but there's supposed to be a sign up there, basically an interactive sign like we put up at all our work zones that basically warns you. And then there's a stop ahead sign, and then there's a...
If it was there, I missed it. And I tell you, that is a real change for people that have, obviously, you know that.
Yeah, we're more than aware. I don't know.
It looks good. I mean, it really
we came
looks
in and we
good.
Put a bigger stop sign in on Friday just to make sure people were seeing that stop sign. I don't think it's a matter of people seeing it. I think it's just a matter of people registering it up here.
Well, you've made such a change that, you know, you really have to slow down when you come to that, which was very smart. I wondered how that was going to work, and I think it'll work fine, but it's going to be a real change for all of us guys that have driven that for 100 years.
Yeah, and that we'll also be doing a similar type of thing down at 165 and 265 in the very near future. We're going to make that a three-way stop. So, actually, that's probably a little bit better because everybody's going to be stopping.
Right.
But you need to make sure that the through movement needs to make sure that they stop down there, too. That'll be coming up soon. So we were waiting for the contractor to finish up their overlay, and we've got to get back in there with our crews and finish up some striping. But once we get that done, we'll do a three-way stop down there at 265 and 165.
I think overall it's going to be a significant improvement, obviously. Danny, you got some comments?
No,
or heard anything? She's...
I love to see work in the area.
Yeah, we've had a lot of work in the area the last couple of years. It's been good for me in this new position. I've been down here 2 years now, and it's been fun because we've been able to tell people, hey, we're working on this, hey, we're working on that. And so.
Is there still going to be the mowing on the state roads here within the county?
Yeah, we are doing what we call our final mow out. It'll be two passes. A lot of places we don't have enough right of way for hardly two passes anymore, but you know, because of the narrowness of the roads. And then anywhere we've got sight distance, you know, they'll mow all that out, and like 65 pretty well gets mowed all the way out because it's interstate or freeway standards. And then we'll be coming through during the winter and doing a more concentrated effort than maybe we've done in the past with the arm mower, trying to get more of that done. I know they've basically said we're going to be running that arm mower all winter long, so try to get some more brush removal done and address that. So.
We've had probably more complaints this year about, and we have done more mowing than we ordinarily do, but the August rains and the Johnson grass seem to have a combination of causing things. That you mow it, and the next week it's 18 inches. Exaggerating a little bit, but not much.
Not much.
It's 18 inches to 2 foot tall, and where you have sight problems, We've had complaints at the county level where we've done actually more mowing than we've done in years past, but it's been dry weather years past, and we didn't have that problem. So
we've definitely seen the same feedback. I've had a lot of people call in about the Johnson grass and you know, thinking that we weren't mowing on the same schedule that we always mow on. I said, well, no, we're mowing. It's just that normally we don't get rain in August, and normally you don't have 7 foot tall Johnson grass, which we literally had Johnson grass to the top of the cabs
right.
In some places.
Our spray program, I hope this next year takes care of that. You can spray that Johnson grass when it gets up to around knee high to waist high before it starts to stem out and kill a lot of it. And I'm hoping that we improve the situation a lot with just our spraying program. Mm-hmm. I see you guys are spraying. You do certain times a year. Hopefully we can coordinate and do a better job.
Yeah, and we would, I'm sure, like to have more time to spray than we do, because obviously there's some serious challenges in all of our counties down here with Johnson grass, with thistle. We've had the knapweed move in the last few years, and that's just added to the load as far as, you know, noxious weeds that we have to control. And so that's become an issue, too. And we have a spray, a spray rig that just basically covers the Taney County area, and that crew's going all the time, it seems like, but it's still a challenge to get it done. I'm glad to see that you guys have committed to that, and we'll be glad to coordinate with you or, you know, just have some discussions, just get some feedback from both sides and see if there's improvements we can make or things that we can gain, because experience is the best teacher. So as far as construction, we're wrapping up 160 and 176. 86 down between 13 and 65. That project is wrapping up also. We added shoulders in areas where we could on 86. We'd already overlaid it a couple of years ago, and it didn't get those shoulders included with the project. And so we tried to come in and add shoulders after the fact. It looks a little strange because we had some areas where maintenance had already come in and done some asphalt shouldering on their own to try to, you know, prevent edge drop-offs and some other things. So the contractor probably only added shoulders on about 25% of the entire route because we had a large portion of it already handled with our forces in the past. But then they came in and they rumbled almost all of it. They put the rumble stripes down. And then our crews will come back in. I don't know if it'll be this week or next week, but they'll be down putting in a fresh stripe to go over that rumble. So it'll be a safety improvement that will be completed this year for that area. And I think that's about it for the construction season. We're pretty well wrapped up. Obviously snow season, we're getting ready for that. I'm right there on the maintenance lot. The guys have been busy testing out all the sanders, and they had 800 tons of salt delivered last week, and they're getting that treated with the beet juice and getting that all combined and put away and stockpiled, and so that's the next battle.
I hope we don't have to use it.
I hope we don't either. And then, of course, we're finishing up the mowing. I think they'll go through about this week, and then they should be basically done with their mow out. Might be a little lingering spots here and there with some of the construction zones we had. I think they were waiting until they got out of the way to go in and mow. And we'll be focused on the winter activities. We'll focus on things like replacing pipes under roads, improving ditches, and replacing pipes under private driveways, that type of thing. We do a lot of that during the winter. As well as, like I said, the brush control with the arm mowers. So that will be a lot of what we're doing in the winter.
The third lane is not.
We would love to have a third lane. I should mention that your Transportation Advisory Board met last week, and I always go to their meetings when I can, and they're doing a really good job. I commend you guys for stepping up and. You're one of the, I think you're probably the only county in our 21 county district that has their own transportation advisory board just set aside to do that. And I know Randy benefits from it on the Taney County side, and we benefited from it greatly. And I think that you all benefit from it when you go to, your RPC, SIMCOG, when you go and compete to have projects recommended to us for future projects. you know, with your planning ahead, it makes it so much easier for you to present to the group, you know, what your project is, what your need is. Mm-hmm. It's been fully looked at, it's fully understood, a lot more fleshed out than some of the other counties. So I think that really helps. And you've got a good group, too.
Yeah.
I have one more little question for you, and it's something just for you to, you know, I always have something.
Yes, I would hate for you not to have anything. Well, I was disappointed by that.
Along your state highways, and I know that we, and you may have already addressed this with your PAC, but this is a problem that I've seen, and of course I travel a lot of roads with the county roads, and I noticed the outside edge of where we have a lot of state roads,
mm-hmm.
where you do your white strapping,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that's breaking off to the corners, and what I guess as long as the white stripe is fine, but mm-hmm. where it breaks off on the corners and, you know, it usually overlays past that point. I don't know whether it's a matter of mixture or what, but it's something for you to look into and investigate.
Okay. Describe that a little bit more for us, because
okay.
I'm not sure
well,
we're talking about the same
problem.
Center
line, and then you go over and put your white stripe.
Our edge line, yes.
And then your edge line. Mm-hmm. A lot of that's breaking off to the edge.
Okay, so are you concerned about the, I thought you were talking about the layer underneath? As
no,
far as
I'm just talking,
okay.
What I'm talking about is where it's breaking off the edge, and I don't know whether that's caused from when they lay the road and it lays 2 or 3 inches thick instead of having something that
yeah,
rolls over.
Yeah, there's like a roll, yeah, rolled edge. They actually are, they're asking us to, the Federal Highway Department has come out with a new methodology for laying asphalt that has an edge that's called a safety edge, and it's got just a little bit of a taper and then a rollover. And where we can fit it, we've been trying to include that in new projects. I don't know that any of our projects down here have had that yet, but it's something that's coming in the future. But it also takes up a little bit of space, so you have to have enough roadway width to be able to do that to begin with. Normally how we address that issue in these areas where we've got narrow roads is, and that's another winter activity that I didn't mention, is we come through and do that edge treatment. You know, we do some type of edge treatment, whether it be gravel or whether it be some type of asphalt product, but we'll come through and you know, this time of year it'd probably be a gravel product just to, you know, bring up that structure to try to fill in that little, and to keep people from having, you know, if you run off the road and you get over on that lip and you have a big edge drop, we don't want that at all. So we try to address that. And that is another activity that usually gets mainly addressed during the winter. If we know we've got an issue, we try to address it during the summer because we consider it an emergency if it's more than like a 2-inch or more drop off. So if somebody wants to call and let us know, we will address those immediately. But that's another winter activity that
yeah,
we
the
do.
The break off is what I'm concerned
yeah.
with. Where
yeah.
when it gets to the white line,
we don't want to lose
out.
It. Yeah, we don't want to lose the asphalt either,
right.
but we don't want people running off that edge either. So,
right.
okay. Anything else?
I think I'm all set. Anything
okay.
else, Dan?
No.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Appreciate your update. Danny, our next order of business is solid waste resolutions and appointments to that. I'm wondering if we could move this till Thursday
okay.
and just have it rescheduled.
That'd be fine. Yep. Do you know if they have a meeting? I'm the board appointment for that, but I don't know what I haven't.
I'm not sure that they have an appointment between now and Thursday. If they do, you would still be the position.
Yeah.
Until we make a different selection or the same. I just thought it would be better to wait till Brandon was here. Bid recommendation for in-car video cameras, Mr. Erickson. And guests. How are you gentlemen today?
How are you? Fine, thank
good.
You. Good. Good morning, gentlemen. We're here this morning for a award recommendation regarding in-car video cameras bid number 201309-242. And what we had was a request by the sheriff to let this item out for bid, which I put out on September the 30th. The bid closed and for opening on October the 23rd. We received responses from three different vendors, and Sergeant Stottle, who is here with us this morning, took charge of those responses and did a thorough review. And I'll turn it over to him to give some details on why we're recommending who we are. Sergeant Stottle?
We're recommending Digital Ally because of several reasons. It's currently the system that was awarded in the first bid for in-car video cameras, and we have three systems of theirs already in place in the patrol cars. The other two systems that were bid, you would have to purchase their software additionally, and we'd be using two different softwares to manage the proprietary video files.
This bid also has federal funding ramifications as well. So it was paid for by...
Part of the money was from a communications grant, the White River... I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's a White River
Cops Grant
Valley communication type grant. Yeah. And we share the video software with Branson PD and the prosecutor's office. So. The other two that bid the in-car cameras, they are not compatible with the video storage software that we have currently.
Motion for approval of bid number 201309-242 to Digital Alliance, recommendation of the Sheriff's Department.
Is that the name, Alliance?
Digital Alley.
Alley.
Incorporated.
Alley. I had Alley wrote down. I thought that I can't be right, so I put Alliance on it.
I will second your motion. The motion is to accept the recommendation to approve the bid offered by Digital Alley Incorporated, bid number 201309-242. And for the record, the reasoning is that we already have existing software that meshes with the product that is bid, and we would have to go outside to purchase other software to accept the software that was bid. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Bid recommendation for HVAC replacement at the airport.
Yes, sir. I'm here this morning to discuss with you all a recommendation to reject this particular bid. The airport had requested that I set out a bid for HVAC replacement. I actually went over there and looked at what the situation was with the airport manager, and we released a bid for this replacement for this product on September the 4th. We opened responses on October the 9th to that bid from three different vendors, and the responses were then taken by the airport manager, Mark Parent, for review purposes. He delivered those to the airport board, excuse me, and the airport board has come back with a request that to me, that I'm bringing to you all this morning, to reject this particular bid due to a specification, a very specific specification that they'd like added to a rebid effort. I took steps to get this item put on the agenda this morning, so I can formally request that this bid be rejected. I've already reissued the modifications to a new bid to send out, which is on hold pending your formal rejection of this one. I'll release the next bid effort on this as soon as I hear from you all that this is rejected. Or just to add this one major specification to it, which really has an impact on the entire project.
Now, is this a recommendation from the board? Is this a recommendation from you? Or is this a recommendation from Mr. Parent? Or the combination of all three?
All three.
Okay, motion to reject bid number 1309-239.
And to relet for bids? Do you want to incorporate that?
Yes.
I would second that motion. The motion's been made and seconded to reject bid numbers 201309-239 and to relet for bids. So we're, in essence, rejecting all bids that were received. Discussion?
I've got a little discussion that involves this HVAC deal, and that is, two or three years ago, or maybe if time gets away, maybe my first or second term, I don't know, sometime in during that time, the airport board, as I was attending their meetings, had a HVAC situation there, and I thought they did a bunch of revamping of the, I thought that they had a total system review. And so I would like for you to check into that and see. I thought we had to change a bunch of that around because of so much airspace in that building. And when they did, they had to add different
HVAC. I can offer some detail regarding that. That may have been discussed but not followed up upon, because the major issue with the system, as I understand, I'm not being an HVAC expert by any means, but the air return as it exists today is in too close proximity to the actual heating, the heat exchange. So what's occurring with the air conditioning, either heat or air, what's occurring is the preferred temperature is being pulled back right into the air return system, and so the room is left either too cold or too warm. What's caused this specification change here was they left out an item concerning the fact that the emergency sprinkler system, which is in the way of any modification suggestions, was left off of the bid specification. So we've added that, so that vendors now, when they see this bid, when I send it out to them now, they'll see that they need to also include in their response whatever costs or charges it would incur to move that sprinkler system in order to accommodate new duct work to correct this problem.
All right. I'm satisfied with what you said. I just knew that it had been mentioned before. And
all in favor of the motion, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Clean Water Survey Project, Mr. Suti. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you gentlemen have a copy of this?
Yes.
Okay.
Of your survey?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to have a few minutes just to share with you this project that I've been working on. What the project is a survey of an environmental nature that I'd like to submit to the citizens of Taney County. The basis for the survey is to gauge the environmental concerns and the knowledge and the practices of the respondents that they use in their daily life that could have a positive or negative impact upon the environment. Also, some of the questions of the survey range from, you know, how do they receive their water and sewer services, and how they maintain their services if they are provided by a private well or a private septic system, and what, you know, to gauge the support of projects that the respondents might be positive about as far as public water supply being brought to their areas and different things like that. The results of the survey, what we'd like to do is, when we start receiving input back from the citizens, is to use this information to tailor educational meetings or discussion with groups, organizations, or individuals of an environmental nature. And we feel that this survey would help us point out what items might need to be more emphasized on that the public may not be aware of. The results from the survey also can aid in the location of future projects and different things like that, since we're looking at the number of septic tanks in specific watersheds. We're not asking for names or actual address locations, but we are trying to tie these responses to watersheds within Taney County. The platform that we had looked at originally, I looked at a mailing, and then almost as soon as I looked at a mailing, I got to thinking about the cost that and the time that it would take to do something like that. Given that most mailings, you receive a 25 to 30% response rate at best, so there could be a lot of time and effort there not really utilized at the best. So I started looking at the internet and how we could use the internet to get this information out to the public. I spoke with Mark Rice, Information Services Director with Taney County, who had some good ideas. And what we kind of are centering around, if the commission would approve me to move forward with this, is to create a link on the county website to a service called SurveyMonkey. Kind of a funny name, but SurveyMonkey is a well-known site for surveys. The Department of Natural Resources and other governmental organizations have used this site. They have the tools and the abilities that this site has are almost unlimited. The cost to use to work through SurveyMonkey is $300 a year. And that would be basically the cost of this plus my time to do this. The biggest challenge for me is going to be to keep this survey out in the public knowledge and to present this and keep this idea out there using
John,
all
of it. John, how would you get the survey to, though?
What we're looking at...
Citizens.
I'm sorry?
How would you get the survey out to the people?
What we're looking at is that we're going to have a site set up on the county website, basically a link that would be a banner or some other item that's put on the county website to where the citizens could, you know, they can go to the county website and then click on that, and then that would take them to a link to the survey. Getting it out to them, making them aware of the survey and its existence is basically using the local news medias and any other way that I have to reach numbers of people to get that word out. And I'm looking at, this is going to be, once we get this set up, I don't see a lot of maintenance to maintain the survey, but we're looking at probably the survey being on that site for at least a year. And during that time, results will be coming in during that time frame. Unlike just a single mailing, with it being on the county website and on the internet, it allows it to be more of a living document that, you know, results come in as people utilize that. We can get those results in. But that is going to be the challenge, is to, get the word out through whatever means available to the citizens that this does exist, and we would appreciate them taking the time to utilize it and give us their feedback.
So you're visioning identifying problem areas within the future, soliciting responses from the public as to how we might solve those problems, whether or not, for example, an area that doesn't have a public water system, whether or not they need a public water system, whether or not they want a public water system.
That's part of it, yes.
Okay.
Their knowledge and how to maintain their septic system, if they maintain their septic system, what's important to them as far as the water usage in Taney County, the water quality of Taney County, what do they feel the biggest threat to that water quality is? That's one of the questions, for example. What is their most important use of the water, of our waters in Taney County? They're just their normal daily practices, the rain gutters from my home flow directly to, my lawn or the street. Some of the daily questions of your daily usage, the daily things you do on your property. And then it goes into, are you served by a public water supply system? Are you served sewer service by on-site wastewater disposal system, your private septic tank? If so, Do you maintain that septic tank? Do you have that septic tank pumped out? Would you be supportive of programs that rebate dollars back to you to have your septic tank pumped out? Just kind of a, I didn't want to just inundate it with questions, but just there's enough questions that kind of touch on all of those areas.
If you have private water, do you ever test your water?
Exactly. That's one of the questions on here. You know, are you aware that that service is available in Thaney County? That's one of the questions on the survey. So the initial, you know, the time and the $300 to set up an account with SurveyMonkey is basically the expense. Then the challenge is going to be to keep that word out there before the public in any way possible, using any means available, that the survey is here. We would appreciate you taking the time. I would assume it would probably take a person 10 to 15 minutes to go online and fill this out. SurveyMonkey, the results come back to that, to their platform. They will return the responses in a statistical data that will show the number of respondents, the percentage of each criteria will be listed. I've talked to a few people that's used this service before, and they were really impressed with the level of detail that you get back from this company. I talked to Mark, and his people could do that. They could set this up and write the computer code to do this, but he said for $300, given the amount of time it would take his people to do a portion of what this site already does, he said really the value is to go ahead and use this other third party.
John, I would recommend that you hit the water districts, have meetings with the districts, and they may be able to help through the billing system, or maybe even the power companies, who involves almost everybody.
Yeah.
Might be able to, because this does affect us all.
Yes.
And that would be one way that even a periodical notice of what you're trying to do here would be, there'll be a lot of people that won't pay any attention to the survey if they have to go and look at it. Whereas if it's brought to their attention through the water districts, they would probably more than likely give a response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, the word of mouth that passes on about
yes.
is the biggest thing that you'll have as far as communication with the public.
Yes.
In those water district meetings, it would be something that you could get them involved in.
Yes. Yeah, I thought about the utility companies out there, as you've mentioned. Thought about the possibility of having a booth at the fair. You know, we used to have booths down at the fair where we passed out water sampling kits, and we had information about septic systems. And, you know, I don't know, the environmental endeavor that we're looking at now with me and the other individuals, if that's something that we could work together as far as that, and, you know, that type of situation. But you know, the cities, anybody that does a billing out to their constituents, different things like that, to use those avenues as well. It's good ideas.
Are you needing a motion to approve the
expenditure
of funds on it? I'm totally with the idea of what you're trying to do, to see where the needs are. You can't address them if you don't know where they're at.
Well, that's it. And to see what I think.
Let me ask a question
yes,
a little differently. Are we sure this is the set of questions we want to ask? Are we sure we don't want to refine it after you talk with water districts, perhaps, or the three of us chatting about it,
right,
or just the general idea and concept? Is that
what
wasn't
what I was going to do.
Yeah.
He was wanting to start on this. The way I took it, actually the website, he can get the material ready for the website, but we'd have to approve the appropriation of funds to do so, right?
Yeah, once we get to that point, I would cherish the opportunity to sit down and talk with you all about it, and just to make sure that there's something else since we're going to do this. I looked at the mailing, and I kind of kept it just kind of generalized to some degree, but I didn't have a lot of numerous questions on here, but this platform, SurveyMonkey, you're unlimited to the questions that you can put on there. So I would appreciate the time to sit down and just go through it and see if there's anything else I did give a copy of this to Mike Cole and Scott Sterrett. I haven't heard back from them just to see if they had anything, since they're dealing with water quality issues and septic issues every day. I could solicit this out to some of the other entities to see if there's anything that they like. I'm not in a rush with this. I just wanted to bring this to your
general concept.
Yes.
I'm in favor of the general concept, John. I think we need to define what's...
If we're going to do this, you know, if you gentlemen approve it, we want to do it right and make sure that we cover everything that we feel is necessary to be a part of this. So I'd rather take the time to discuss it and make sure that we're all happy with what we've got here. Once we get to that point, then I'll have to set up an account with SurveyMonkey and then go through the process of putting these questions on the side.
Go ahead and move forward with that part of it.
That's go ahead. Mainly what I was going to try to do is give you approval as far as the using the SurveyMonkey survey. And
go ahead and set that part of it up, John, and we'll take care of that through the accounts payable process. Okay. So the three of us can vote on that $300 bill or whatever it is. Okay. You can take that out of contingency because it wasn't planned for at the beginning of the year. And that's okay with me, but let's work some.
Right.
I really like what you're doing.
Cherish the opportunity to do that with you guys. Okay. Yes.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank
appreciate
you. Appreciate
it.
Appreciate your time.
Senior Tax Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all today?
Good.
Or the plural would be all you all, I guess that's what it's.
$2,000, probably high, but sometimes we're not sure exactly what we're going to do, what we might need. Phone and internet, $1,200. We are currently furnishing a phone for the Southwest Missouri Office on Aging using our office. Equipment purchase, again, we're not sure, but that's a small fund that we might need. Training and mileage. There's a lot of training that needs to take place for many of us. There's a Southwest Missouri Office on Aging is having quarterly meetings in Springfield for any of the senior tax board members from like a 15-county area, trying to coordinate efforts within those counties that have a senior tax board. Insurance, we have liability insurance for the board, and this year it went up considerably to approximately $2,000 for the year just for the liability. Staff, we don't have a staff. But we may, as time goes on, need a staff, so we've set aside $13,000 for someone if it becomes necessary. Advertising, we've got $2,500 set aside for advertising. We have to publish things in the paper from time to time. And I know hopefully that will be too much, but just in case. Utilities of approximately $2,000. That's for the office that we're furnishing. Senior services, $600,000. This is for all of the grants to the Southwest Missouri Office on Aging, OATS.
And I have that broke down, Michael, if you want me to address
it. Mike, when you say grants, these are dollars that are passed through from the from your board to those agencies?
Correct.
Okay.
And then we've got Future Program Expansion Fund, roughly $150,000 to $250,000. This is, the board has been discussing certain things, possibly even of purchasing a piece of property to build something in eastern Taney County, a senior tax or a senior center in eastern Taney County. There seems to be good facilities and everything in the Branson area. There's also talk of something regional for Bradleyville, Croton, Cedar Creek, Taneyville, somewhere in the eastern side of the county, so that it could be more centrally located than just Forsyth. There are a lot of seniors on the eastern part of the county that tend to feel left out. So we're trying to, we're thinking in terms of something maybe at some point in the future.
But I just wanted to elaborate a little bit more so you gentlemen know when someone comes to you about different projects or what the board's doing, so you could be more informed about what we have provided so far. So far we have provided guardian alerts, lighted smoke detectors. We've extended the Meals on Wheels, and the board pays for a driver in the eastern side of the county. We have worked with the health department to provide shingle shots, and now the health department has another entity that will actually do the billing to the insurance and Medicare, so therefore we can provide more shots because they wasn't able to do that before. So that's been there's been a lot of interest in that. People have really appreciated that. We have the in-home care where we provide just housekeeping for seniors. Also, we provide bathing and that sort of thing, and also respite care for anyone that's helping take care of a senior if they are a senior also. And we're in partnership with Skaggs now with Cox on that. On OATS, if you see more and more buses around, that's coming from us. We have paid for two additional senior-only buses, one for the eastern side, one for the western side. And we provide the funding for the two care coordinators, one for Branson, one for Forsyth, and that's also the office that we provide. In the Forsyth area, they were going out to the senior side, but we felt it was more better for them to have somebody here in town so they didn't have to drive out to the senior center. So we think that that's been a good move too. And with OCAC, we provided assistance for fans, air conditioners, and dental care we provided for seniors. So that's been a good thing. So what we have on the agenda for this year is we want to, and OATS has already came to us with grants. We've already received some of our grants. We receive our grants in October. Then we have two meetings in November where everyone comes in and presents their grants to us. We listen to everybody. Then we consider everything, and then in December we vote on our grants. So hopefully we can get started the first of the year getting everybody their money. So this year we plan to add funds to OATS to provide three more days a week for the people that are in the very eastern part of the county to be able to come in. And we have the three criterias for the OATS is the first is medical, then to go to the senior sites to get their meals, and then for essential shopping. So you guys know how it is. Cedar Creek, you know, it's kind of like fingers we have out there, how long it takes to go to Cedar Creek, Pro-Tem, Bradleyville. So now then we're going to have a bus that's going to just 3 days a week provide the services for those people. And then we're also looking at maybe having a day that will have that the senior bus will be available to take people to Springfield for medical trips to see specialists,
And then until we get the other centers, Mercy and Cox, up and going in Branson, maybe they won't have to have that. But right now there's a need for that, because right now the Oats bus is doing that. It's not the buses that we provide the money for, but it's the regular Oats bus, and they only go once a month. So we're seeing that there would probably be more of a need for that. We're looking at a pilot study to see if the seniors in Bradleyville, Protem, and Cedar Creek would come to a location at those areas for lunches. So possibly we could be preparing the meals in Forsyth and then taking them out there so the people could gather, maybe not just have it delivered to their homes, but the people that are able to could come to those centers. We're looking at different churches that might be able to do that. So that's kind of a pilot thing we're gonna try to do this year. We want to provide more dental assistance. We're looking into weather radios. One of our board members has contacted OTC, and we are giving funds for OTC to provide computer classes for seniors on an entry level, intermediate, and advanced. We already look like those classes are probably going to be filled up, and we got a really good deal. We got for $5,000, I think, for up to maybe 25 people, and it was a really good deal that OTC is working out with us, and they're going to do all the advertising on that and sign people up for it. So we're excited about that. Wanted to let you gentlemen know that I know there's been some discussion that we're not using all of our money that's there. And one thing needs to be taken in consideration, that at the end of the year, there's always a large amount because SMOA, which is Southwest Missouri Division of Aging, and OATS, they're the ones that we give the most money to. We pay them quarterly, so at the end of the year, we're going to have that large amount, but we still have to pay the fourth quarter, which is always going to be paid the next year. So that's one reason why there's a lot of money left. And also, I would just like to say on a personal note that as a person who was not really all that enthused about the tax to begin with, because I know how money can be wasted if it's not properly used. I think that's why having the right people on the board. And I think we have really, I want to pat ourselves on the back a little bit. I think we've really done a good job with what we've done. And we're pretty conservative. So that's why there is money left over. We want to expand and see other projects that are out there. Don't want to just be throwing the money around. And as a person that lives in the eastern side of the county, that's where I'm really looking at keeping that going so we can provide for those people out there. Not to let go with Branson and that area, and also Ridgedale. That's an area that we're looking at also. That's farther out there too. But we're really looking at, we've kind of got our center, we've got everything kind of in place in Forsyth and Branson, and now it's to use that money to expand and now go out to those other areas. So we just wanted to come before you, let you know what was going on. So when people come up to you, you can say, you know, yeah, we know this is what they're doing, you know, we've approved the budget and that sort of thing. So.
And we had regional meetings in Ridgedale, Cedar Creek, Protem, and had one scheduled for Bradleyville. Unfortunately, no one showed up except board people.
No, it was June. They might have been fishing or something.
Yeah, fishing was pretty good then, so. But I did show up. Go on the record with that.
As you talk about different things on the, like the OTC have you reached out like to the Extension Council or anything on any projects that they might have that would be of interest to seniors? I know they have a lot of things going on right now.
I have been in contact with one of the people that work for the Extension office. I provided them a grant request, and they're kind of putting something together to put the grant before us. Also, we have that money allotted, but we don't give all of our money out at the first of the year. You know, we're always saving some money back. Because just now at the end of this year, we went ahead and purchased a walk-in freezer for over at the Branson site, because theirs had been repaired so many times, it was a lot better for us to replace that. And we also went ahead and we did the OTC, the first round of classes OTC out of this year's budget. So, yes, I have been talking to the Extension office.
There was some subject that they had contacted me about to, mm-hmm. to visit with you about, mm-hmm. and I can't remember right now what it was.
Well, people do ask questions, and quite frankly, I'm glad that you're here today and you're talking about some of the services that you're providing, because not everybody knows about those services. And the more that the public becomes aware and the more that they see how you're managing those funds, the more accepted that services you're providing are going to become.
You keep trying to get the word out, and I realize that it's still new. A lot of people haven't bothered to look into the services that we can provide, but we keep trying to get the word out.
Mike, when you enter into agreements with these different agencies and state agencies, are you doing intergovernmental agreements or agreements for services? By and between them?
All we do, they request the right. funds from us, and we review them and furnish them with the funds.
We do have a contract with them.
We have a contract, but as far as...
They're going to provide certain services yes. for these right. funds. That's what I meant.
Right. Yeah, and then there's follow-up, too. We get follow-up on a quarterly basis.
Right.
On, yes, we've done this and this, and, we're so far along on that project that we've requested funds.
We're required as part of the budgetary process to place that within... I see Rick sitting back there, if I'm not mistaken, to at least have a copy of their budget for the year. Do we have that?
I'm assuming I have a copy. Same thing to get me. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Actually, there was a problem. Somehow, my email over at the state side is not compatible with yours, because I sent you guys several emails. I thought you were just ignoring me, but evidently they're not coming.
There's so many mandates that come down from the state, we try not to open those.
Yes, I did. But it was about the meeting and everything, so that's why I just called. So I'll have to check on that. But, yeah, it's the same.
I was just curious because I know that he needs that.
And they come, the emails come from you?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. And there's some other offices they're not.
Yeah.
They're not going to either. Right. They weren't going to the auditor's office until Joanne had to call and check everything. So
okay.
That's kind of it.
We'll check.
Well, I would just like to be able to, if I need to say, hey, Ron.
I try to send out agendas, too, to everyone, but occasionally I get spammed by some of your computers. But I do send it to your staff.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Do you all have more comments for us?
No, I will let you know, though. I'm usually pretty organized, and I came in Friday on my day off and had everything typed up and ready to go, and they're changing over our computers, and mine didn't get rebooted this morning, so I didn't have all this for you. So I will at a later time. I'll send all that over just so you guys will have this, and then if someone contacts you, you'll be able to.
You bet.
Know
that'd be very helpful.
And on Friday, I must admit, I was at Lake of the Ozarks.
Conference? Was that a conference, Mike?
Well, I practiced on Friday, I caught fish, and then they disappeared during the tournament.
You know, I had a visit with Mr. Bruns. We were waiting at Tri-Lakes to get our vehicles, so I had plenty of time to talk senior board, senior activities with him, which was quite interesting as far as updating you on every little thing that was going on. So it was a good visit that we had, and enlightened me on what you were preparing on. And that's just happened Friday, so I'm up to date now.
It's an ongoing process, but I'm really proud of what we've done so far.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ashley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
The title is Flood Buyout and Appraisals, etc.
Well, and actually, I just really intended for this to be more of a flood buyout update.
That'll be fine.
And also maybe seeking your guidance on a few issues as well. As you know, and I won't rehash the entire history on this, because of course it's been a 2.5-year history.
Yeah.
But in February of this year, Taney County was awarded, as you know, the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program funds for the purchase of these nine flooded properties via SEMA and FEMA. And then we also received approval for our Community Development Block Grant. At this point, of course, as you know, the appraisals have been completed, and we have received the CDBG funds, the reimbursement for the CDBG funds that were expended for the appraisals. The request for funds via SEMA and FEMA has also been approved, so we should be seeing those funds as well on the appraisals. At this point, probably the biggest thing that I wanted to bring to the commission is the Great American Title Company has completed the initial title reports on all nine properties, and they're basically recommending that the county have a survey completed on one of the properties. There are some issues or some concerns with the legal description for the Afton Lane property. But with that being said, in speaking with Mr. Davis, our flood buyout consultant, we actually do have a line item within the budget for this program, for these two grants, that basically allows for all nine properties to be surveyed. It doesn't really require that they be surveyed, but that is a reimbursable expense. And so...
Well, just let me interrupt for a second. Not only is that reimbursable, the fact is that the county will be the recipient of these properties when they're bought out.
Correct.
The
Correct.
County needs to know where those lines are. That's very important, at least as far as my perspective.
And I agree. I really do. And like I said, I did confirm with SEMA. Our consultant had indicated that was a reimbursable expense, but I did want to confirm that with SEMA as well. And they did confirm that not only is reimbursable, but that's actually a line item in our grant budget as well.
Let me get this straight then. There's no need in us taking any action for the request if it's already a line item in the budget.
I think that's likely correct.
Our suggestion is for you to move forward with that.
Yeah. Okay. And great. At this point, another issue that we've got is at this point we have completed our environmental assessment, and as a part of that, we had to place a notice in the local paper, in the Taney County Times, and that was put out essentially for about, I believe it was 15 days, and at this point, we had to put that out to see if we basically would receive any public input, and at this point, we've received input from the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, and then also from SEMA, which was a little strange, but essentially we have to post one last notice in the paper, one last final notice, and then it's my understanding that essentially this environmental review process will be completed. From here, I'm going to be sending we'll have a contract, a draft contract with each individual property owner. I was going to send that to the county attorney for his review. And then the only last step we have is we're still awaiting what FEMA refers to as a duplication of benefits form. And what that is, on each one of these nine properties, FEMA will essentially send us a form that lists how much each of these property owners received in flood insurance monies, and then also some of their expenses were actually reimbursable. They had to send in copies of receipts for various things, from the cost of having a contractor come in and remove debris and that type of thing. And so we're basically still awaiting those duplication of benefits forms at this point. The only last remaining issue that we really have is from the beginning of this project, we've really told the 9 property owners that they had to remove any personal properties from the properties in question, from the flood buyout properties. But unfortunately, we have 2 property owners that have sold their boat.
Hold on, Bob. I'm not exactly sure we should go into that and and open. I know where you're headed.
Okay.
We're not scheduled for an exec session regarding this.
Okay.
But maybe we could do that on Thursday. Would that be too late?
Oh, no. That would be great.
I don't want to talk
really
about those issues. They really have rights, and they need to be protected.
Exactly.
And we discuss that.
Okay.
I've got another question for you, because I had visited with one of the owners. They've not completed all demolition.
No. No, at this point.
But there was a lot of debris removal earlier from.
Yes, yes.
The high waters themselves that individuals took care of.
Right. But the actual demolition of the properties. Now, there is a cost associated with a clear lot, seated. DNR is probably going to have something to say about that. P&Z may have something to say about that as far as sowed down, strawed down, the whole shooting match. Is that cost in this?
Yes, yes.
The county's not going to have to absorb anything, because we said from the very beginning that we weren't going to spend those dollars. So will there be an inspection, I guess my main question, by you, DNR, or whoever is involved in this?
Well, there's really going to have to be a series of inspections by different entities, and I'll give you an example. We were very fortunate in that most of these, really all of these homes actually, are served by the Taney County Regional Sewer District, for example. And so we really plan on putting it in the contract. First off, we'll have to bid this out, and we'll have to hire a contractor to complete demolition on all 9 properties. And we really want it in the contract, for example, that the sewer district will be involved as far as the capping off of the actual sewer facilities, you know, that the sewer mains are properly capped off. You're exactly correct, 100% of these costs are reimbursed through these 2 grant programs. One of the concerns I had early on was actually concerning removal of driveways, but this will actually pay for not only the removal of the homes, but also the removal of any concrete driveways, sidewalks, anything of that
septic
nature.
Septic tanks?
If we would happen to find a septic tank, it would also pay for removal of septic tanks.
There's no sewer in that area when some of those homes were built. So I'm sure there's going to be old crushed septic tanks that are going to have to be taken out and things like that. So,
what we found in the Foggy River Road area, that was at one time served by a treatment plant. That treatment plant was taken offline, and of course those homes are now served by the Regional Sewer District. So we think it's highly unlikely that we would encounter a septic tank in that area. But this will pay for 100% of that. You are correct. If we do have over an acre of land that's disturbed total, we would also have to obtain a DNR land disturbance permit.
Have you had discussions with the sewer district regarding the hookups from the house to the line?
Just very informal discussions with the staff. I have not had discussions with the sewer district board.
How would they do that?
You mean the line that goes to serve the house?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll cap it right back at the... They'll have to dig down and cap it right back at the...
Yeah, that's my understanding as well.
But all that should be part of the covered costs.
Yes, exactly.
I'm with
right.
And
I'm with you.
And we'll have to be really careful that all of these things are spelled out in the contracts, that it specifies that this contractor, does properly cap these things. We can't even spell out in the contract. Part of this is we'll have to have a person that's licensed to complete the inspections for asbestos, and we feel that it's highly unlikely, because of the age of these homes, that we will have a home that has asbestos, but we still have to show that we've had the homes tested.
Bob, when we're done with all the requirements that are coming forth from the state and from the federal government, are we going to complete this project by year's end, or do you anticipate it's going to go into 2014?
Unfortunately, at this point, I feel like it's highly likely that it will go on into 2014. I am very hopeful that we are able to close on the homes this year.
Again, the thing that we've said from the very beginning and multiple times, we don't want to be the cause of dragging this out. So whenever there's something that we can do to expedite the process, make sure that we get that done.
Well, the question that you asked, Ron, about whether this is going to go into 2014.
I was thinking about the budget.
Thinking about the budget.
Exactly.
If there's any expense that we're going to have to budget for next year, we'll need something from you saying what those particular items, and a fairly good guess about how much it's going to cost, whether we receive it or spend it. I mean, that's something that we're going to have to.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's from the grants. I'm not talking about the counties, but we have to budget for that. So.
Exactly. And unfortunately, I do think there's a high likelihood that this will go into next year. Like I said, I'm very, very hopeful that we will close on the home, on the residents, on the properties this year. But I do think there's a high likelihood that by the time we bid out demolition, that demolition will go over into next year.
I don't understand that, and I'd like for you to check with Mr. Davis about that, because you have 9 properties. We have several contractors that might be able to do 2 homes and get them complete or something like that, whereas you're going to bid out the entire project, and that's a drawn-out situation for that particular company to come in and do a sufficient job. Check with Mr. Davis, see if that can be a multiple.
Well, if we do the bidding, we can award it to as many as we want to whomever.
That was my thought as well.
Wait just a second. I don't know whether the ownership of the home, the owners that have went through the process of helping clean up after the flood, I'm sure that they have promised that contractor that they would have him come back and demo it or something.
Well,
I know one particular case where there's 2 homes, and the guy has he had a lot of work done, and you know, to clean up, to get started cleaning up, and I'm sure that he's going to say, you know, I'd like to have that guy back to clean it up. So,
yeah, at that point, it'll actually be the county's property.
So it'll be already in the process before the cleanup.
Exactly. Yeah, before the
they will have submitted their bills for whomever had done whatever work.
Exactly.
That's all part of this process.
Exactly. And just to give you a better idea, literally what they're paid is the fair market value for the property minus what they've already received in flood insurance. We were very fortunate. 8 out of 9 of these property owners were carrying flood insurance. And so essentially, they can't be paid twice. There can't be a duplication of benefits.
But we're going to be looking at a difference, whatever that difference is that they didn't receive on the fair market value of the house, plus the value of the ground itself.
Exactly, and then they will also receive back some of the flood insurance premiums they've paid, plus they'll be paid back for some of these receipts, some of these expenses they had because of the flooding as well. And so that's really the primary thing we're waiting on, is for FEMA to get back with us with this duplication of benefits form. That way we know exactly what the offer is going to be on each property.
I hate to say this like this, but part of those owners don't understand that. I mean, they contact me, and I'd send them on because I don't understand it all. But some of the owners don't understand that they're not going to be able to have John Doe come in and do the.
Their choice is either have John Doe come in and take care of it and not sell it to the county, or sell it to the county and.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm just saying that's part of the many steps of the process that they've been through already. They don't understand that, so.
I actually feel like we've actually met with all nine of these. Well, and really, in this case, I say all nine property owners. It's really nine couples, so 18 people. I really feel like the 18 have a pretty good understanding of the process.
Weren't there originally 10?
There were originally 10. We had one gentleman when the decision was initially made to participate in the flood buyout. It was decided that only those houses that were found to be substantially damaged would be participating in this. And one of the property owners was able to provide our office with documentation essentially indicating that he was not substantially damaged. And he has asked to be removed from the flood buyout.
Is there one owner that has two properties?
No, not to my knowledge. Here's a listing.
I wouldn't know his name if I've seen it, but I just heard him talking about two properties.
Here's a listing.
Thank you.
But that's a listing of the nine. Eight of the nine are all in fairly close proximity. The ninth one is really located by itself off of Lakeshore Drive.
Right. Anything else, Dan?
No, I'm just causing confusion.
I understand. It's been a long, complex process. Well, it really has. Well, I do thank you, gentlemen.
I appreciate you and all you've gone through with this, that's for sure.
Well, and hopefully the next time I'm reporting back, we will have at least taken the step to close. And at that point, these nine couples can move on with their lives, can move forward. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. I've got to run to that meeting. Yeah.